Thank you for stopping by Living Waters World Online, a place where the river of God flows. Pastors Lawrence and Kimberly Richardson invite you on a journey to change the church, challenge the colleges, and charge into the community. The following message is from the series, The Four Dimensions of Prayer.
Acts chapter number 12. And Acts chapter 12, verse 1 through 18, and then for a correlating scripture, Jeremiah chapter number 33, amen, verse 1, 2, and 3. Let's read.
Now about that time, Herod the king stretched out his hand to harass some from the church. Then he killed James, the brother of John, with the sword. And because he saw that it pleased the Jews, he proceeded further to seize Peter also. Now it was during the days of unleavened bread. So when he had arrested him, he put him in prison and delivered him to four squads of soldiers to keep him, intending to bring him before the people after Passover. Peter was therefore kept in prison, but constant prayer was offered to God for him by the church. And when Herod was able to bring him out that night, Peter was sleeping, bound with two chains between two soldiers, and the guards before the door were keeping the prison. Now behold, an angel of the Lord stood by him, and a light shone in the prison. And he struck Peter on the side and raised him up, saying, "Arise quickly," and his chains fell off his hands. Then the angel said to him, "Gird yourself and tie on your sandals." And so he did. And he said to him, "Put on your garment and follow me." So he went out and followed him, and did not know that what was done by the angel was real, but thought he was seeing a vision. When they were past the first and the second guard posts, they came to the iron gate that leads to the city, which opened to them of its own accord. And they went out and went down one street, and immediately the angel departed from him. And when Peter had come to himself, he said, "Now I know for certain that the Lord has sent his angel and has delivered me from the hand of Herod and from all the expectation of the Jewish people." So when he had considered this, he came to the house of Mary, the mother of John, whose surname was Mark, where many were gathered together praying. And as Peter knocked at the door of the gate, a girl named Rhoda came to answer. When she recognized Peter's voice because of her gladness, she did not open the gate, but ran in and announced that Peter stood before the gate. But they said to her, "You are beside yourself." Yet she kept insisting that it was so. So they said, "It is his angel." Now Peter continued knocking, and when they opened the door and saw him, they were astonished. But motioning to them with his hand to keep silent, he declared to them how the Lord had brought him out of the prison. And he said, "Go tell these things to James and to the brethren." And he departed and went to another place. Then, as soon as it was day, there was no small stir among the soldiers about what had become of Peter.
And when Herod would have brought him forth, the same night Peter was sleeping between the two soldiers, bound with two chains, and the keepers before the door kept prison. And behold, the angel of the Lord came upon him. Skip down a little bit. And when Peter was come to himself, he said, "Now I know of surety that the Lord hath sent his angel and hath delivered me out of the hand of Herod. I am saved, I am healed, I am delivered." He said, "I know for sure the Lord hath delivered me out of the hand of Herod." Skip down just a little bit further. And because this is the main part of the text that I want to minister. And as Peter knocked on the door at the gate, a damsel came to hearken named Rhoda. And when she knew Peter's voice, she opened not the gate of gladness. She opened not the gate for gladness, but ran in. And you got to see this. Peter is knocking at the door, but she does not open the gate. She runs inside the gate. You'll get it in a minute. They've been praying all night long, "Lord, get Peter out of jail, because James has just been murdered, and tomorrow they're going to kill Peter." And Peter's knocking at the door, but she does not open the door. You'll get it in a minute. Jeremiah chapter number 33, and I go to my seat. Jeremiah chapter number 33. Moreover, the word of the Lord came unto Jeremiah the second time while he was shut up in the court of the prison, saying, Thus saith the Lord. Now Jeremiah is shut up in the prison as well. Thus saith the Lord, the maker thereof. The Lord formed it to establish. The Lord is his name. Call upon me, and I will answer thee, and I will show thee great and mighty things which thou knewest not. Do me a favor, tell your neighbor, say, neighbor, hey neighbor, the answer's at the door. See, they're responding just like I thought they would respond. So you need to find one more person, say, neighbor, hey neighbor, the answer's at the door. God says, call upon me, and I will show you great and mighty things which you did not know. So why is it when the answer is at the door, we're not opening the door? Do me a favor, tell your neighbor one more time. I'm going to give y'all 3 points. I'm going to point y'all in the direction of the four dimensions of prayer, and then I'm going to my seat. Come on, ask your neighbor, tell me one more time. Say, neighbor, your answer's at the door. Father, thank you for the word that you sowed in my heart to minister for these next 5-7 minutes. I'll speak. Let me speak as an oracle. Let me declare your truth and let somebody be saved, healed, and delivered. And we'll glorify your name. And all God's people said, amen and amen. The answer is at the door. Somebody go ahead and say it one more time. Say, the answer is at the door. Come on, say it one more time. The answer is at the door. Now put a hallelujah on the end of it. Is anybody glad that the answer is what you've been praying for is at the door? It's at the door. The book of Acts, and you can just stay right there quick, holding, because I'm almost done. The book of Acts, according to the Bible Made Easy commentary, is a history of what the Christians did with the experiencing and teaching of Jesus Christ. After faith-to-faith encounters had ended, and now they were being charged with evangelizing the world. What they were most interested, and this is what God is bringing the church of the Lord Jesus back to, what they were most interested in was being disciples and making disciples. What they were most interested in is being disciples and making disciples. Come on, give me a favor, talk to yourself. Say, what I must become interested in is being a disciple and making disciples. Now, postmodernism, American dream, and all this other stuff that we allowed to come into church has made us into something else. But today we're getting free. Amen. I want to be a disciple. In my heart, I want to be a disciple of Jesus Christ, and I want to make disciples. You know that's the great commandment, not the great suggestion. Luke was educated. The writer of Acts, he was educated. This is so powerful. He was a Greek, and he was the only Greek writer of the New Testament. I'm sorry, or the Gentile writer of the New Testament. Most of his writings, or most theologians say his writing, this book, is probably the most important book of all the New Testament books for Christians of this modern day. So it is important for us to read the book of Acts, because of all the models, and I'll go later, a little later, of the different models of churches that are being made, of all the models of how church is now being carried out, the attraction model is really not what we need to be doing, or the organic model of just bringing people here, and then one man does all the work to make sure everybody becomes those models are not working. And we've got to go back to the book of Acts and find the model that says, and he added to the church daily such as should be saved. He wants to add to the church, and then when he adds to the church, he wants to make us disciples. He don't want us to just leave us as Christians. He wants to make us disciples. And then once we get down living as a disciple, he wants us to then go out and make other disciples. That's the model that we see in the book of Acts. And one of the things that is pivotal in the model in the book of Acts, and you see it all through this chapter, is his house being a house of prayer for all people. So there's three things in this text, and I promise you, amen, I'm done. If the answer is at the door, then how do I open the door? How do I release the blessings? So everything that God has for me, I can receive it in this season. So there's three things, and there's three things of great simplicity that I'll bring to your attention. Number one is seen in verse number 1-5. The first point of, if the answer is at the door, then how do I respond? Number one, and I hope you're ready, media. Number one, problems, perplexities, and vexations must not hinder our praying. Problems, perplexities, and vexations must not hinder or stop our praying. Have y'all noticed when stuff start happening, generally, we relinquish, not all of us, but a lot of us, we're not praying as we used to pray. Because we start asking, is all of this worth all of that? I need to let somebody know problems, perplexity, and vexation, it cannot hinder your praying. In fact, it should be the fuel that intensifies our praying. If the enemy is fighting us like that after we call a prayer watch, then we ought to call a few more prayer watches. I need to help somebody in here because you ain't been in the faith long enough. The minute you start praying, all hell is now attentive to what you're saying and what you're doing. Especially if you're praying for revival. Y'all better please hear me. Don't get offended here. But if Satan ain't fighting you, I need to question how much you're praying. If you're on easy street, you ain't ran into the devil. Because see, I found out who he don't mess with. He don't mess with folks that ain't praying. Okay, y'all getting real quiet here. He don't mess with folks that are not acknowledging God first in all of their ways. When folks start acknowledging God first in all of their ways, they start running into hindrances because Satan don't want them to follow the way that God is leading. The minute you go to your knee, it's like an alert goes off in hell. She praying. I need to say that again. But somebody convinced us that once we start praying, it gets easy. No, it's the inverse. Once we start praying, now all of hell turns towards us and trying to stop us from praying. But the problems, the perplexities, the vexation is not going to hinder us. It's going to intensify our prayers. When you have weeks like that, you ought to pray double next week. But what happens to most of us, and I promise y'all I'm about done, when we pray and we run into problems, perplexities, and vexations, it makes us sort of kind of draw back. We start asking, is it worth all of that? Luke helped us in 18:1. Man ought to... I want to encourage you. You ain't doing nothing wrong. You're doing something right. When you are praying, you're not doing something wrong. You're doing something right. But I need to alert you, hellhounds will follow you. Demons will come out of nowhere. And you have to learn, I'm just going to add more to it. So number one, problems, perplexities, and vexations must not hinder or stop us from praying. These things must fuel and intensify. Lynn, are you listening? They must intensify the way we pray. When I see Satan trying to get up between us, I don't stop praying. I go to praying harder. Y'all didn't hear what I just said. When I see Satan messing with my children, trying to lead him off, I don't say, oh God, I'm going to throw up in my hands and quit. I ain't going to pray no more. No, I start now going into tongues and interpretation of tongues, word of knowledge, word of wisdom. Come on, do me a favor. Tell your neighbor, say, neighbor, use that to intensify your praying. Sometimes you got to look at the devil in the face and say, you think you're going to stop me from praying? Oh, no, I'm just going to add more to it. Now I'm going to pray for some stuff that I hadn't even thought about praying for. So problems and perplexities. Because in the text, there is great vexation because Herod is getting ready to kill one of the premier apostles. And the Bible says because all of this, and James is already dead, they didn't go somewhere and hide. They went somewhere and began to pray more intensely. When we see things happening, especially what's going on in 1600 Pennsylvania Avenue, we need to go to our knees more. When we see what's going on in social media and mass media and Momo trying to get to our children, we need to pray more intensely. In fact, it ought to fuel us to even more fervent praying. That's what they did in Acts chapter number 12. Number two, prayers fueled by troubling stirs the pot in the spirit realm and turns the tide in our favor. Praying in the midst of troubling stirs the pot in the spirit realm and turns the tide in our favor. When you get a chance, go back and read the text. When they begin to pray, here go angels dispatched. Here go Peter now being able to speak the language of angels. I'm coming, Kim. Just get sturdy. Just give me some time. Not only because even that is a mystery. How is Peter speaking with an angel? There's languages of men, but there's languages of angels. I'm telling you how he was able to talk to an angel because somebody was praying. Whenever our prayers are fueled by trouble, it stirs the spirit realm and turns things in our favor. When you get a chance, read verse number 5 through round verse number 11. When they went to praying, stuff went to happening. And stuff went to happening that was in their favor. Sometimes stuff not happening because we ain't praying. Y'all ain't talking back to me. Sometimes we can't discern the spirit of operation because we ain't gone in prayer. We trying to fix stuff with intellect and power and our wittiness, and we thinking we know what to do. And y'all, hope y'all young folks listen to me. We think we got it all together and we ain't got a clue. Let me discover where you get answers. Let me show you where you get answers from. Let me show you where you get wisdom and knowledge. I just had to write a 15. When I left here last Sunday, I needed to complete a 15-page paper, and I probably had 4 pages done. I had the research done, but I told Kim, when I go home, I'm locking it down, and when I lock it down, y'all don't say nothing to me, let me do my work. From 2 o'clock to 12:30, I was working, and when I turned it in, out of 200 points, I got 200 points. And it wasn't because I'm so smart and I'm so intellectual. It was because I kept hearing Holy Ghost say, write that. I kept hearing the Holy Ghost say, go to this book. I kept hearing, I was going back to stuff we used in leadership 5 years ago. But that only comes by praying. And we, oh God, we haven't taught a generation how to pray and get answers. But I'm going to help you here, and I hope I don't scare any of y'all. Some of your future troubles, God let it come to bring you back to prayer. Because some of us are too at ease in Zion. You let some real trouble come, and you do some real praying. Okay, you didn't hear what I said? Some of the old saints know what I'm talking about. Old saints, y'all starting to sit over here. Some of the old saints, y'all know what I'm talking about. You let some real trouble come, and now you ain't worrying about who calling on the phone. You ain't worrying about what's on television. You said, God, my daughter is in trouble, and I'm going to stay here until I get an answer. You start praying like that, and daughter will come back around, and child will come back home, and sickness will get up. Why? Because it turned the tide in our favor. And we haven't taught a generation of how to pray through trouble. We haven't taught a generation of how to pray through trouble that the tide, because there is a place in prayer that you don't relinquish until you feel the tide turn. Do me a favor, tell somebody there's a place in prayer that you don't relinquish until you feel the tide turn. Some of y'all know what I'm talking about, that you were praying about something, and then God said, okay, everything good, and you go to sleep. And then 3 days later, you get a phone call, something around 12:30, I don't know what was going on. And then you think, I was praying at 12:30. I hear you, Holy Spirit. Trouble is only trouble when we refuse to pray out of our spirit being troubled. I'll say it again. Trouble is only trouble when we refuse to pray because our spirit is troubled. Trouble is only troubled when we refuse to pray because our spirit is troubled. I can take you and walk you through the Old Testament when men and women of God were troubled and they started praying. That's what they did in this text. If you study the history, they did not kill people during the high seasons of Jewish history. And so Peter was on deck to be crucified. In fact, he was more than likely going to be crucified the next day. But the saints were praying. And most theologians believe they were so troubled that they prayed all night. Can I help somebody in here? How much trouble it is to you is measured how much time you'll labor in prayer with it. We got major problems and we doing minor praying. I'm all right, Justin. We want to see the mountain moved, and we praying for God, move that little hill out my way and going on about our business. If it's troubling you like that, you might need to give God 24 hours of prayer. And y'all ain't saying nothing now? Because the modern church ain't. The modern church is taught to grab it, claim it, and you can have it. Well, there's some troubling that don't get on like that. Y'all ain't hear what I just said. There's some troubling in life that don't get gone because you claimed it, you named it, and now you're going to snatch it. Y'all ain't saying nothing, so I'm going to keep preaching it. All right, there is some stuff in life that ain't no turnaround like that going to fix it. Y'all ain't hearing me. There's some stuff in life that I don't care how much you dance and how much you shout about, you're going to have to go back to your knees. Oh, y'all didn't hear what I said. There are some things over us generational that it might take 5 years of prayer to get them off our family. Y'all ain't hear what I said. There's some stuff that happened with our children. Good God Almighty, y'all gonna make me do it. Now, that weed, oh God, Edward, are you praying for me? Because I'm about to go. That weed in this generation is crazy. Okay, y'all, how did I get over there? How did you get all the way over there? Because I'm trying to show y'all. Weed is overtaking this generation. And you don't believe me? Go in the grocery store and smell. Who up in here smelling weed? Go in the gas station. Good. Who up in here smelling weed? Mistakenly get in somebody's car that they didn't know you got in there. Good God Almighty. You ain't saying nothing. And that weed is trying to overtake a generation. And if the church don't come back to praying, our children are going to be smoking weed. But the devil is a liar. You're sitting by somebody under 30, tell them I'm praying for you. Come on, tell them you'll never smoke weed. You'll never smoke weed. And if I got any oil, y'all gonna make me go. And if I got any weed smokers in here, don't be telling me nothing about no municipal purposes. I need to get you healed and I need to get you delivered, because there ain't no God like our God. You that sick, you need prayer. And it works. My God will get you so high you won't come back. For a good reason. Y'all educators, y'all know what I'm talking about. Come on, educators, y'all act like I'm telling the truth in here. You up in class floating it like, how did I get a contact? And if we ain't careful, our ones will be dabbling into weed smoking and we can't figure out what's wrong with them. So some nights, y'all better please hear me. Y'all gonna pray all night for your child. Y'all better hear me. Some nights, some mornings, I know Malachi, Isaiah, and Kim get up like, what in the world is this on me? Oh, Lord, Lawrence done been through the house. I got up in the realm of the spirit, and I anointed everybody. I prayed for everybody. I rebuked every devil I can find and some neighbors that might be lurking. Go read the text. They labored in prayer all night. There are some troublings, and y'all better please hear me. Some of y'all ain't lived a half a minute, so you have no idea what I'm talking about. Wait till you get to the next half in a minute. You're going to find out some stuff that I am troubled by. It's going to take some extensive prayer.
We hope you've enjoyed this message from Living Waters World Online. If you were blessed by this message, or know someone who will be blessed by this message, please click the link below for more information on how to receive the full-length copy. We hope you are encouraged, and please remember, this is the place where the river of God flows.